as he started on his journey, the holy angels cried. He turned and faced his father. This they heard him say: mankind owes a debt below that only I can pay, but I'll be back. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus told his men, you'll see the Son betrayed there, there I'll be condemned. You see them mock me and curse me, you see me crucified, you see me suffer in agony, there you'll see me die. Just a few short days and I'll be back. And after they laid my sweet Jesus in the tomb, he got up and took a trip down below. Show the devil that he had lost the battle for man's soul. And I believe that as he took the keys, he looked the devil right in the eye. He said the grave could not hold me, headed back to glory. So devil, just keep this in mind. I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be gone for a season, oh boy. One day I'm coming back. I'll be back. One day on a hillside, Jesus rose up in the clouds. The words he spoke came flooding back to some young man in the crowd. He said, I go to prepare a place, but I'll be back again. Gonna take my people to a land where joy shall never end. But I'll be back. Oh, I'll be back. I'll be gone for a little while. One day I'm coming back. Oh, I'll be back. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I hope you're ready to meet me. One day I'm coming back. I'll be back. Christians, don't lose faith, 'cause I'll be back.
I enjoy worshiping the Lord, being in the Lord's house. I guess I don't understand why people don't, you know. But some people don't. But I do. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the worship. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking when they were playing that video, and thinking also when Sister Gay was singing that song, so many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasure have kept us. Now, you stop and think about this just a minute. God has created a magnificent place for us. So many beautiful places and scenery and the sights. And I've been some places around the world, and I've seen some of it, but I'll never see it all. And I get to thinking, as you were singing that song and they started playing the video, if God has created all this in His majesty, what has He got for us? I mean, now you stop and think about that for just a minute. how magnificent it's going to be. And here's the thing about heaven. You're going to get to see it all. You're going to have eternity. I mean, you know, I've always wanted to go out and get up on top of the Rocky Mountains above the snow line in the summer. I may not ever get to do that. And then I've thought about, you know, my wife keeps telling me we need to take a cruise. I said, there's only one I'm interested in. I want to go to Kodiak Island and cruise around Kodiak Island and see the whales in the mountains. I may not ever get to do that. I don't know. But when we get to heaven and we start seeing all the things that God has had, I mean, to me, you just stop and think about it a minute. How great is it going to be? I mean, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ears not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And sometimes God does give us a glimpse into heaven. God gave Paul a glimpse into heaven. There's a lot in the Bible about that. If you got your Bible tonight, we're going to read in 2 Kings. We're going to start reading in the first verse. I'm going to read about 15 verses to you tonight. But I want to talk about a double portion. I got to thinking about this, and I actually hunted up a CD of Ricky Atkinson and Compassion. There's a song on there entitled Double Portion. And I was going to try to get it and play it for you tonight, but I have played that song till that song won't play anymore. The rest of the CD seems to work okay, but not that song. But we're going to try to get it and let you hear it. It's a song that means a lot to me, and I'll tell you before we get into this, it's a song that makes me think about my dad. It's a song that makes me think about your former pastor. Not that I knew him, but just what I've heard and what I've seen. And I want us to read this scripture, and I want us to look at Elijah and Elisha. And I want us to see what Elisha asked for when he was walking with Elijah. And I want to go through a couple of points tonight. It's in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither. So they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both together asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jordan saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now that's the story. You know, that story right there, I mean, it's something that sticks out into my heart and my mind. And I want to kind of walk through it just with you just a minute. And I want you to think about Elijah. Elijah was God's man. Elijah had power with God. And Elijah did some great miracles of God. Elijah was there when he prayed that it would not rain. And for 3.5 years it didn't rain. He was fed by the brook of Cherith. And God fed him and sent the ravens to feed him there. And then he told him to go and he prayed again that it would rain. And it rained. And then they took, you know the story where all the 400 prophets of Baal came down and they built the altar and they cried and Elijah said, you know, let the Lord that answers by fire, let him be God. And all this time, people were watching. And you know, and Elijah had this little follower, this little servant, Elisha. And as I look at this scripture and I look at Elisha was greatly impacted by Elijah, his mentor. He watched him. And, you know, if you stop and think about it for just a minute, if you've had anybody in your life like that was a godly person, that was Elijah to Elisha. He watched him. He saw God work in his life. He had watched how he had served the Lord. And he had watched how God's power rested upon him. I believe he saw how he walked with God, but I believe he also saw how that God was faithful to Elisha. Now, God was faithful to him. You know, sometimes when we look at things and we look at people that have power with God, you know, we're living in a society today that thinks that if you're godly, it's equated to great riches. If you study these things, and you know, there was a story right over there before Elijah was taken up, and they came and they were looking for Elijah. They asked the question, and here's how they described him. They said he was a hairy man, and he was girded with a leather girdle. And you know, when you stop and look at it, and you think about him and his appearance, but everybody who asked knew that Elijah was a man that has God's hand upon him. And this man had greatly impacted the life of Elisha. Now, being impacted by it, I believe if we look at this scripture, he knew. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we know when we're getting to the point, we're going to have to turn somebody loose. We don't like it, but we know it. And being greatly impacted by him, he walked with him. And it seemed like the closer that it got to the end, the closer he walked beside him. You see, several times in this story where Elijah said, I want you to stay here, the Lord sent me here. I want you to stay here. The Lord sent me here. He said, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay close to you. Like, I want to be there. I want something that's on you to rub off on me. And he walked with him so far that he began to ask him. You know, Elijah looked at Elisha and he says in the 9th verse, it says, And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now I want you to look at Elisha for this minute. And I want you to recognize that he desired something from God. You know, sometimes people want God to do great things. And if you go over to the book of Acts, there's a story to where there were people that came to the disciples. And they said, we want that power. We want the power that we see you have. They didn't want it so that they could see lost saved. They wanted it so they could get worldly gain. And I believe here's the thing that's significant about Elisha, and we're going to see it when we look into his life. He didn't want that power so he could have worldly gain. He wanted that power because I believe he saw a need. Now you stop and think about it for just a minute. He saw a need and he had a burden, and he wanted God to use him the same way that he saw God use Elijah. He wanted the power that rested upon Elijah to be upon him. He wanted the life that he saw Elijah live for the Lord to be upon him. And here's something that I believe is very important. He wanted the hand of God that he saw on Elijah to be upon him. Have you ever seen somebody and they go through life, and I'm not talking about looking at what they have, but looking at how they walk with the Lord, and you know that God's hand was upon that person. And you say, I want God's hand to be upon me like that. You know, I'll tell you where this story really become important to me and precious to me. It's in 2006, I lost my dad. And my dad was my mentor. I used to go sit on the front porch with him when I was troubled about something. You know, just because you're in church and you're serving God, and even if you're a preacher, doesn't mean you don't have times you don't get troubled. You know, and sometimes it seems to me like it's about the people in church just dealing with trivial things, trying to seek God's will, to know that you're doing the right thing and serving and honoring God. And I can remember sitting on the porch talking to my dad, and the wisdom that he had, and the way that he would speak to me, and the temperament that he had. And I can remember how it helped me to talk to him. But when I went up here to the funeral home in Dallas, and I walked in and I saw my dad, and it was just me and my dad in the room, and I walked over and I looked down, and my dad was just 58 years old. Here's the first thought that came to my mind. As I said, Lord, I want a double portion of His Spirit on me. You know why I thought that? Because I thought about the Scripture, and I thought about the impact that he had had on my life. And you know, I know that Pastor Quinn had an impact on his church. I see it on you people. I see it on the ministries that are here. I see it in the hearts of the people. And you know, those are great things. But you know, sometimes what I've looked at in my life as I'm getting older is so many of the older preachers that I was around that had power with God are gone. Where are they at? They're in heaven. It's just like Elijah. He said, you know, the Lord, they kept telling Elisha, the Lord's going to take him away from you today. And he said, hold your peace. And he just kept walking with him. You know, and I see as I look at Elijah, and he saw, you know, Elisha following and walking along with him. He said, that's a hard thing. But you know, I don't think if he had asked it, if God hadn't known that his heart was in the right place and his motive wouldn't have been right, God wouldn't have just given it to him. Because this power was to be used for the honor and glory of God. And when I look at this, I see in verse 13 to 15 that he received the blessing that he asked for. You see, he's walking with Elijah, the chariot of fire divides them, and it's not but just a minute he's gone. I was at a football game Friday night. And they had a dedication service to a little boy that was killed up here in North Paulding County in a car wreck that went to Praise. He was in a Mustang convertible, and they hit a car head on. He didn't have on a seatbelt, and he lost his life. They had a dedication service, and you know, they released a bunch of balloons, his class did. He would have been in the 10th grade this year, and all of his class was on the field. They released the balloons, and it was a bunch of white balloons. And I stood there, and I watched until those balloons went out of sight. You know, it wasn't but just a minute. They were gone. Even with the light shining on them as they went up, and I watched them as they went up, and it was kind of interesting because they started off slow, but they went up, and there must have been some type of wind up there that wasn't being felt on the ground, because once they got so high, they just took off across this way. And I watched them, and they got closer and closer together till they were out of sight. And you know, it wasn't but just a minute, if you look at this scripture, until that fire of chariots of fire divided them. And Elisha was in heaven. Do you know the Bible teaches us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's just a few examples in the Word of God where men were taken up to heaven that did not die. Just like that. How far is heaven? Y'all heard that song? I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how far it is. Because God is not limited to the same time constraints and travel policies that you and I are. The speed of light and the speed of sound mean nothing to a living God. He commands it. Is it out there? It is. How far is it? As you and I know it, it may seem impossible. But to God, it's just like that. Elijah's standing upon the ground. And there's something that happened. Elijah told Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken away, it's going to be given to you. It wasn't but just a minute he was gone. But he looked, and there's Elijah's mantle. And he picks it up, and he throws it over his shoulders. And he walks down to that river, and he takes it, and he folds it, and he slaps that water. And he says, where is the God of Elijah? And here's something I want you to understand, folks. There's a lot of people in my life, men of God, people that I used to go to church with, they've done gone to heaven. But the same God that they serve hears our prayers. The same God that they serve comes into our church services every time that we're here. The same God that they serve wants to save people today just like He used to save them. The same God that when I was a boy, we used to go week after week to revival and hear people preach and people come down to the altar and be saved, He's still saving souls today. The same God. And He's going to be till Jesus comes. And what I think you and I ought to do is cry out to God and say, Lord, give me a double portion. God, pour some of that out on us so that we could honor you with it. Not so we could be lifted up. Not so we could say, look at us. Not so we could do anything other than honor God. If you look through the Bible, there are other examples of people who called out to the Lord and asked God for a blessing. Now, we're very familiar with the prayer of Jabez. This is 1 Chronicles 4:10, where it says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And the scripture said, and God granted him that which he requested. We see Elisha saying, I want a double portion. We see Jabez saying, God, I want you to bless me. Go over to Genesis chapter 32, and I want to read just a few verses. His name was Jacob. His name means supplanter. But God changed his name. In Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24, it says, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Now, some people believe that this is an incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, when you begin to look at this scripture and you see it, he's wrestling here with someone that's not of this earth, not from this world. It's not a man that lived in the next village. And as he's wrestling, and he touches the hollow of his thigh, it says the hollow of his thigh was out of joint. You could go on and read, and farther down in the scripture says they didn't even eat that part of animals anymore because of the sinew that shrank in Jacob's thigh. But even after he touched him, they continued to wrestle. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And I just want to give you one thought. The last time somebody asked him his name, he lied. Just think about that. Now, sometimes in order for God to bless us, God wants to know where we're at. You know, God wants to pour out blessings on us, but He wants us to be in the right place so we'll use it for His honor and glory. He said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And Israel means God strives, or a praise of God. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou didst ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh. He's limping. Therefore, the children of Israel, eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now we look at this scripture and I see three examples of somebody that says, I want you to bless me. Now, if we want God to bless us for the right reason, I believe God will. If we want God to do something for His honor and glory, I believe He will. If we want God to add to the church such as should be saved so they can be saved, I believe He will. But you know, I was talking to somebody this week and they were talking about churches. And you know, there's a lot of churches, and I mentioned this in the council meeting, that don't want the type of people to come in the church that can't bring money. They don't want the type of people to come into the church that can't give. They don't want the type of people to come into the church that won't bring a good picture. I know a pastor at a church in this county who said, I don't want those kind of people. And here's what he was saying. He said, take the tent down. They will have tent meeting out there. He said, we don't want that kind of people in this church. I want to tell you, we ought to fear God to say something like that. Amen. And if we're going to have power with God, we ought to recognize who the power belongs to. If God's going to bless us, who does it belong to? If God's going to move, it's for His honor and His glory. Jacob said, I won't turn you loose till you bless me. And he asked him, what is your name? And here's the question, I think, in that. Are you ready for a blessing? Are you ready for a blessing? You know, sometimes I think about the preachers that have gone on and I think, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to do that? Who's going to preach the way they preached? Do you remember the preachers that preached to you years ago? And the way that God moved and God moved on them. Sometimes I do and I think about it. Who's going to fill their shoes? We got to want that. You got to want that. And here's the last thing I want you to see about Elisha. Elisha honored God with what God gave him. He honored God with what God gave him. Now, as I said, many people want the power, but everything that God gives us is for His honor and glory. Okay? Everything. It's kind of like I heard a preacher say one time. He said, you know, you can score a touchdown, and everybody in the stands wants to run dance in the end zone. But they don't want to come to football practice. You know, they don't want to come and get out there and do two-a-days. They just want to celebrate. But sometimes if we want to dance in the end zone, we have to do the work and suffer that's necessary and sweat and cry out to God in the times that we need to in order to be able to celebrate. Sometimes we need to do the work even when the work is not glorious. You know, I believe there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. Sometimes people think, oh, so-and-so is going to have great rewards in heaven. You know, let's just be serious. A lot of people get their reward here. They get their reward here because they want to make sure you know what they're doing for God. They want their name on the sign. It's kind of like the person will say, I'll pay your building off, but I want a plaque about this big by the front door with my name on it. You know, there's a lot of people here that have served God. God knows it. And folks, when we get to heaven, don't be surprised if some of those little preachers that you grow up listening to that had power with God aren't the first ones in line. And some of the pastors of these big churches that want to have their names in lights or be at the back of the line, they're going to be servants because they got their reward here. Elijah had power with God. Folks, Elisha asked for a double portion. Do you know if you read through the scripture, you find more miracles performed by Elisha than you did Elijah. Now, let me get those right. Elijah. Elisha. The second one performed more miracles than the first. He said, I want a double portion. I'm just going to give you a couple of these. And second, and I'm not going to read these. I don't have time, but you can read it. Folks, there's some good reading in the Old Testament. There's some good stuff. There's some tough stuff in there too. But there's some good reading in there. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through verse number 7. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of this one to you. But this is about a little woman that served God. And here's what she said. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now here we have a woman that served God, and Elisha is God's man. He's God's prophet. Remember, they saw the power of God on him, and they came down and bowed to him when he crossed Jordan. He tells her, he asks her, what do you have in the house? And she said, all I've got is one little pot of oil. Just one little pot of oil. He said, well, I want you to go to everybody you know, and I want you to borrow vessels. And he said, borrow not a few. That means borrow a whole lot. And she borrowed vessels from everybody that she knew. And he said, now you and your two sons go in the house and you shut the door behind you. He said, you take that pot of oil, that one pot that you've got, and all of these empty pots, and you pour all of these empty pots full with that one pot that you have. Now, folks, that's the God that we serve. And she poured and she poured and she poured, and she asked her son, she said, bring me another vessel. He said, we don't have any more. She said, call that prophet. And he said, you take and you sell these oils and you pay off all your debt. And then you and your family live on the rest. Now, it wasn't for glory and it wasn't for man. But she said, we serve the Lord and we feared the Lord. And the prophet said, what can I do for you? You go down to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8 through the verse number 37. There was a little Shunammite woman. You've probably heard that story. And she loved the Lord and she feared God. And every time that Elijah passed through, he would go into her house. And her husband and her were there, and he would be fed. And she said unto her husband, let's build a little room. Let's put a bed and a table and a candle, so that when the man of God comes by, he has a place to dwell. And he asked her, he looks at her goodness and he looks at God on her, and he said, what can I do for you? And he says, I know. She has no son. And she said, well, my husband's old, and you know, don't deceive me. He said, about the time, you know, it's kind of funny when we read through this, Jordan wasn't just parted once. It wasn't just one miracle that an old lady had a child. It wasn't just Sarah. Here's the Shunammite woman, and he says, about the time of life, you're going to have a son. And she bore a son, and her husband was out working in the field one day, and of course the prophet, he would come by. And that little boy was out with his dad, just like my boys are out with me. And he got a headache, and you know what the dad said? What most dads say, go see your mama. She went back into mama, and he got on his mother's lap. And he sat there on his mother's knees, and he cried, my head, until he died. And she took him up, and she laid him on the prophet Elisha's bed. And she went as fast as she could go until she got Elisha. And Elisha asked, is it well? She said, it's well. But she fell down at his feet, and she grabbed his feet with her hands. There was a little servant named Gehazi that was Elijah's servant. And he went to throw her away from the prophet. He said, don't touch her, for her heart's grieved, and the Lord has hid it from me. And he told Gehazi, handed him his staff, and he said, you ride as hard as you can. You don't speak to any man, but you go to where that boy's at, and you lay this staff upon that child. And when Elisha came, he went in, and he laid down, and he put his hands on his hands, and he put his eyes on his eyes. And the boy became warm. Then the scripture says that Elijah did what a lot of preachers do. He got up and he walked around the room. You know, that's called pacing. He walked around the room and, you know, he's looking for God to move. And he goes over. He lays down on the child again. And the child sneezed 7 times. And he said, take him and show him to his mother. Now, this man had power with God. We don't read anything that he did great for himself. In fact, if you go on and you read in the stories, there were times that they would want to reward him, and he would say, no reward. Now, the scripture says the workman is worthy of his hire. It says in another place not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. It's not that he wasn't worthy, but he did it for the honor and glory of God. And that's why God already knows what's in the heart. That's why God knows where to send his power. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, there was a famine. And they began to make a pot of porridge. And they got a wild vine, and they were shredding it in the pot. And they got wild gourds, and they were chopping them. And they made a pot, and they began to eat. And they realized it was poison. And they cried out, "Oh man of God, what are we going to do?" And he came over, and he said, "You take this little bit of meal, and you put it in the pot." And the pot was healed. And they all ate. In 2 Kings 4, 42 to 44, there was just a few loaves of barley bread and over 100 men. And he said, "Feed them." You know, it's not just in the New Testament. Two loaves and five fishes in the New Testament. Two fishes and five loaves, sorry. Hard drive. He said, "Feed them." It lasted because God's hand was in it. Then you go to chapter 5 and you find Naaman's leprosy. Naaman's leprosy. He told him, he said, "You just go down to the Jordan, you dip yourself seven times." When Naaman came back and he said, "I know now that there's just one God." He even said, "When I go home to my people and I go into the house of a false god, I ask forgiveness before I even go." And Elisha said, "Go in peace." Then when he offered rewards, and you find this in 2 Kings chapter 5 in the 16th verse, Elisha refused the rewards that were offered. Now, you know, if I look at my life and I look back on the men that, and I never met Elijah, obviously, and I never met Elisha. And I was telling somebody outside today, and I think I've said this a few times, I never met Pastor Quinn. But you know, folks, there's a lot of men of God around the land that are like that. I remember one time I was up at Singing on the Mountain up there with the Primitive Quartet. And the pastor of one of their churches, of the members of the Primitive Quartet, got up to introduce them. And he was going to pray. And you know, a preacher gets close to the Spirit of God. It's hard to do anything but preach. It's hard to sing. It's hard to pray. All you want to do is preach. And he got up there to pray for them. And he just about got wound up. And I looked over at Kendra and my father-in-law, and I said, "Man, I'd love to go hear him preach. And I'll never get to hear him on this side." But you know how many of them there are like that are out there right now, faithfully serving God. But we're all going to be together one day. He said, "I'll be back. I'll be back." And he's going to get us. You know what? I'm going to get to talk to Elijah and Elisha. I'm going to get to see my dad. I'll get to meet Pastor Quinn. I'll get to sit down with Brother Gordon Kimmons, preacher that I hadn't heard preach since I was about 7 years old. But I still remember it. When you go to somebody's house and it's 110 degrees, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you go in and you begin to witness to them and talk to them about the Lord, and they become more of a blessing to you than you could possibly be to them. And I can remember as a little boy sitting there and that man getting up and preaching all over that living room. I'll never forget it. You know what I saw? I saw an Elijah. And I remember it, and today I still say, "Lord, I want a double portion of that. I want a double portion of what I've seen in those men of God." I wish I could play that song for you, but I wore it out. When my dad passed away, at the end of his service, as people were going out, I played that song. Because that's the way that I felt. Was he perfect? No, he's just like you and me. But was he a man of God? Without a doubt. And when I looked at it, and honestly, I felt such a great sense of responsibility when my dad passed. I said, "Who's going to do what he did?" You know, when the grandkids and the cousins want to get married, who are they going to call? When there's funerals in the family, they're going to call the preacher. Who are they going to call? And I looked at it and I thought about it. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. You may not think it's true, but people are watching you. And if you're the one in your family that's serving God, they're watching you just like they did Elijah and Elisha. Amen. I hope something I said tonight was a blessing to you. Something spoke to your heart. That's what was on my heart. And I do enjoy studying it and reading it. And folks, I love studying the Bible. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I'll study something and I'll try to forget where it's at because I don't want to preach it. I'm just being honest. Some of it's tough. Some of it's tough. And I was studying some on the life of King Saul. And I do have something that God's put on my heart there. Just read it. So many opportunities, but he wasn't like Elijah and Elisha. He didn't follow the Lord the way they did, amen? Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Anybody got anything on your heart? Anything anybody like to say for the Lord tonight? Amen. Well, I'll tell y'all, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I'm looking forward. We got 9 to baptize. I kept putting it off, wanting to have some. I want to get it. No, I really didn't want to get it good and cold. I'm not going to say that. We got 9. Praise the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that. And you know, sometimes when people get baptized, you know, their families come. There'll be people here that maybe we can minister to. I'm excited about Sunday night, about having a fall festival out here. And Christy announced to the Awana kids, it's going to be Bring a Real Friend night. So they get a reward if they bring a friend. Well, why? So we can minister to them. Amen. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the ordination the next week and ordaining Brother Kevin. And I'm excited about Brother Larry bringing that message that night as well. I'm excited about God. You know, I know everybody in the world don't want him, but I do. I'll tell you this and I'll close. We had a little prayer meeting over in my next door neighbor's yard, over in Jason Morgan's yard. And his dad-in-law, Wayman Westbrook, came. And he plays a guitar left-handed. It's funny looking. But he was playing that guitar and he sang this song. And there's a verse in it. And he said, if you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me. And I liked that verse. I said, man, that's good. That's the way I feel about this world. Doesn't matter what they're going to do, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to serve him. And I know that everything that played on that screen a while ago, he made just by speaking it into existence. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody tonight. Anything to be said before we close? Amen. If not, Brother Tommy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?